This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
He's young, he's influential, and he is one of the most listened to, sought after influencers of our day. He is Charlie Kirk, and I'm sitting right next to him, man. How about that setup? Does it get any better?
Oh, well, I don't know if it's warranted, but God bless you. Thank you. That's very kind.
Well, and he's tall. He used to play basketball. Now, did you ever get so you could dunk it? That's what everyone always – don't they ask us, the tall guys, if we can dunk it?
I used to be able to dunk, not consistently. Looking back, I could do a whole podcast on what I would have done differently basketball-wise. My biggest problem was my diet. Now, I after high school, I was able to play way better, jump higher, shoot with higher efficiency, because I was eating incorrectly in high school. Way too much carbs, yeah. Way too much chocolate, yeah. And sugars. And then I went to just meat and greens, and I was able to dunk off literally underneath the net 2 feet.
2 feet underneath the net with two hands or one hand?
Or both. Two hands.
Oh.
10-foot rim.
Unbelievable.
But when I was in high school, I never could do that. And so anyway, I have a lot of advice for high school basketball players that are not as athletically inclined. And one of the biggest is you have to eat correctly and you have to get your sleep. And the other part of it is we were going 7 days a week, which is not good.
Yeah.
You got and in high school basketball, rest,
yes,
needs to happen more. Anyway, I'm happy to talk about high school, yeah, basketball.
Well, you know, it's my favorite sport. And you know, God did create the world, and it is the one sport where it's truly a global world. You know, it's the shape of the globe, you know, so we gotta go there, but we'll have to get you better. And you talked about a couple of injuries that were plaguing you, and we'll get you back on the court at some point. Okay, so Charlie, Truth Talk is a show, and you've got an awesome show and podcast, and a lot of folks know about you. And we're at the Falkirk Center. This is part of your invention, and you know, got together with these guys here at Liberty University to get these next minds thinking.
Yes.
Tell us the passion of the Falkirk Center. How would you describe it?
I mean, look, it's been an incredible endeavor, and credit to Ryan and Scott and Liberty University for believing in it, which is, so we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have Western civilization and America. How do they all blend together, and do they? And we don't explain that at all to Americans, and we won't even explain it to Christians. And one of the reasons why I thought this was a very important endeavor, and again, I don't take credit for it. I just happen to be at the ground phase of this, and it's God's work, and it's an amazing team, is about a year and a half ago, I started to see this woke theology really start to grow. Before BLM Inc., before any of it, and I found agreement with Ryan and Scott, and they said, yeah, this is a real problem. I said, well, what are we doing about it? Who in the Christian space is out vocally articulating that critical race theory is anti-biblical? And all these ideas are not new. I mean, Robin DiAngelo and Nicole Hannah-Jones, all these people have been around for years, and I've been metaphorically fighting them for quite some time. And so that's really what is the inspiration of the Falkirk Center. And it's just beginning. It's incredible work.
And this is a faith summit. And Ryan, your team here is amazing. Scott, you guys are an amazing team here. But Charlie, let me just get right to it. Christians and voting, Christians and politics. I mean, there's people listening to Truth Talk, and they'll even say, hey, Stu, we want to hear you interview, a missionary. And we have had phenomenal interviews of people. We've had people, great testimonies and great authors, but they're like, what are you doing talking about politics? But Charlie, you would say, and I've heard you say that this was where Christians should lead in, but there's so much hate and vitriol. What do you say to that person that says, God has nothing to do with politics, Christians shouldn't be involved in that at all, leave that at the door?
It's an outrageous statement. There's a phenomenal book I'm reading called The Book That Built Your World by Vishal Mangdali. I never can pronounce his last name. He's a phenomenal guy, and he looks at the West from an Eastern interpretation. So he grew up in India, and he says it is normal in India, if you walk the streets of Calcutta or Hyderabad, you'll just walk over people on the side of the street. It's not built into the Indian ethos, the Buddhist ethos, the Hindu ethos, or the Islamic ethos. Now, Islam more or less, but it's not into the ethos there to actually have such high concern societal or civilizationally. So we live in this very sophisticated Western civilization. And I ask any one of your listeners, if you saw someone at the side of your street, would you do something about it? And they'd say, yes. Well, why? It's because Jesus Christ changed the moral paradigm with the Good Samaritan story. And it was more than a story. It was a challenge and a call to action that you're not, let's build a whole civilization around this. Of course, there's plenty of homeless people, but we do something about it. There's an active participant to try to solve it in the West. what is civilization? It's an action of what do you believe morally? There's only one moral giver. Moral relativism or moral subjectivity is one of the most dangerous experiments a human being can indulge in. So people say, I don't want to get involved in politics. I say, what are you talking about? Do you want to get involved in civilization or not? Because most of the world, the exception is America and the West, and the rule is tyranny, debauchery, hedonism, and moral relativism.
Wow. So you just set up a whole lot. You just unpacked about 2,000 or 3,000 years worth. Tell us about your faith in Christ. How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ and this idea of being born again? Again, that's a counterintuitive thing where Jesus said, you must be born again in John 3. Tell us about that for Charlie Kirk. How'd that happen to you?
Conversation with Nicodemus. Very important. One of the most important passages in the entire Bible. I love the book of John. I tell all new believers to read the book of John. Well, I was saved when I was in fifth grade. I said the words. I didn't really understand what it meant. So I guess that's where I began. That was not the ending. That's where I think Christians get things wrong, is they think, oh, I finally got my getting to heaven free card. Like, no, that was just the very beginning. And so, look, every year it means more to me, and we're all sinners, and I fall short and, you know, made plenty of mistakes in my life. Everyone has. But I think what has been the most incredible experience for me is realizing how insufficient we are and what that grace actually means the older that you get. And so it means more to me now when I'm 26 than it did when I was 24, when I was 22, or when I was 20. And I think that Christians need to talk more about how it truly is a faith journey, how it is a walk, and there's going to be difficulties and trials and tribulations and temptations, and all those things are very real, right? And so, it's the most important thing in my life to me, and it's something that I am trying to get more and more equipped to articulate, because I come from the political world talking in the to the Christian world, which is totally different. Usually it's people in the Christian world talking to the political world. Even Huckabee didn't start in the the political world.
He was a pastor.
But that's, I think I have a different approach, because I'm also able to tell the Christian world, why am I fighting alone with some of this stuff, right? Yeah. Do you understand the critical race theory, the wokeness? This is a religion. It's growing. It's very scary.
Right. And you go on campuses, Huckabee's book, you know, The Three C's, he talks about that. These schools, Harvard, Yale, they were bastions of Christianity, building people in the faith, teaching Greek and Hebrew, teaching Bible, required Bible study, required prayer. And now they won't even have you to come speak hardly. I mean, but your message to young people in terms of thinking through a paradigm that is really theocentric, you know, that in terms of faith and God, but why conservatism? Why shouldn't young people jump on the liberal trail and why shouldn't they go that direction? What's your big thing there?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. Again, this is longer than, you know, you might have time for, but if there's something that came before you, ask yourself, why is it there? And that's something we don't do at all, the young people. In fact, we say everything before you is a mistake. Let me tell you these new thinkers that want to destroy it all. Now, mind you, what I just said, some people say, well, Charlie, that's a really bad example because that defends all the awful institutions. Well, no, I'm not defending slavery. I mean, it's an evil. It's an unspeakable sin. But marriage and the family predated America. Why is that important or not? Yeah. And so this is something that we as conservatives have to really take very seriously from the first real modern conservative, who is Edmund Burke, who said, don't revolutionize everything. Be very careful to do that. And that's not to say there's not injustices and you shouldn't speak out against it. But if you're going to destroy everything, be very careful, because you might not have a good replacement and it might be worse than what you're living through. So what does conservatism actually mean? It's understanding the good, preserving the good, communicating the good, and then protecting the good. And what is the good? Well, we know what that is. And then for any, you know, and I have lots of atheist friends, I interface with atheists, they say, well, it's, you can find the good in science. Sam Harris made a very, let's say, a good old college try to define that in the moral landscape. You can't. You cannot find the good in science. You can't. If you indulge in nothing but secular Darwinism, there is no defense, for example, to protect the blind, the deaf, or the disadvantaged, or the mental handicapped. You cannot make a social Darwinist argument to defend those people. That's why the first academies for the blind and the deaf were all started by Christians. They were cast aside as prostitutes in the Greek and Roman Empire. They were used as sex slaves in the Mesopotamian Empire and the Egyptian Empire. That's just example of blind and deaf, right? That story of Helen Keller is something that resonates very deeply with us Americans, right? But why was Helen Keller looked after as a human being that has dignity? It's the Christian ethic. That's the good. We take that for granted in the West.
Wow. Charlie Kirk has spoken. Now, quickly, you are now on radio. Okay, there's some things happening.
October 5th.
Okay, so it's coming. And you're about to speak, and so we got him coming up here on the. I mean, we get all the big speakers. I mean, the crowd's gonna love this guy. I'm telling you, big hitter right here, big hitter. The ratings. What's that sound, Charlie? I hear the ratings on my show going up.
No, that's
even
not
as you're, how do people find out about you though? Maybe folks haven't met you yet. They need to meet you. I need to play your stuff. And my daughter, Gracie's, and in college in New York. I've got another daughter married, but they all love what you're doing. But because you're resonating with young people, they're like, hey, there's someone kind of closer to our age.
Yeah.
And let me just affirm you in something as a fellow believer in Christ. And it's so encouraging to hear your testimony. Who's it? But how do people find you? I guess you're on YouTube and the gram.
They can go to charliekirk.com. I run Turning Point USA. They can go to tpusa.com. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, podcasting. I'm pretty easy to find.
And soon to be radio. Some things are happening.
God bless. Awesome. Yeah, super thankful for Salem.
Okay, Charlie Kirk. Now, we're going to get a little picture, and I'm going to put it on my Instagram page. I don't have quite as many followers as you, but we'll follow each other. God bless you, man.
Thank you so much.
This is the Truth Network.